Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Clashing Over Commerce, A History of U.S. Trade Policy is a major work of economic history by Douglas A. Irwin that examines how the United States has argued over tariffs, trade barriers, and openness to the world economy from the founding era to the modern period. Rather than treating trade policy as a purely technical subject, the book shows it as a recurring political struggle shaped by competing interests among consumers, producers, workers, farmers, and policymakers. Irwin organizes this history around the evolution of American trade policy through distinct phases, often summarized as revenue, restriction, and reciprocity. This framework helps explain why tariffs were used for government finance in the early republic, why protectionism later became a powerful force, and how reciprocity and negotiated liberalization eventually came to dominate the post-war era. The book is both a broad historical survey and an interpretive account of why trade debates remain so persistent in American politics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central conflict between open commerce and protection. The book begins from a basic but enduring question: should the United States welcome foreign competition or shield domestic industry from it? Irwin treats this as more than a policy dispute because it creates visible winners and losers, which makes trade a natural source of political conflict. Industries facing import pressure often demand protection, while consumers and export-oriented sectors tend to benefit from lower barriers and wider markets. That tension helps explain why trade policy has been contested through American history rather than settled by economics alone. Irwin's approach is useful because it links trade debates to democratic politics, showing that tariff policy is shaped not only by theory but by organized interests, regional differences, and electoral incentives. The book, therefore, frames trade policy as a recurring struggle over distribution, where the immediate stakes are jobs, prices, and industrial survival. This sets up the rest of the history by showing that the controversy is structural, not accidental. Secondly, the revenue phase of early American tariff policy. One of the book's major historical arguments is that early U.S. tariff policy was driven primarily by revenue needs rather than by a fully developed protectionist agenda. In the decades after 1789, the federal government relied heavily on customs duties because tariffs were among the few practical sources of national income. Irwin emphasizes that this was a fiscal system first and a trade strategy second. That distinction matters because it revises the familiar assumption that the young republic simply adopted tariffs to build infant industries. Instead, the early tariff regime reflected the limited administrative capacity of the new federal state and the need to fund government functions without broad-based taxation. This period also shows how economic ideas and political realities interacted. Some founders were open to commercial exchange, while others accepted tariffs as a necessary source of public finance, by highlighting revenue as the first major purpose of American tariff policy. The book explains how later protectionist arguments emerged on top of an older fiscal structure rather than replacing it all at once. Thirdly, the rise of restriction and the politics of industrial protection. Irwin then traces how tariff policy shifted toward restriction, especially as industrialization transformed the American economy. As northern manufacturing expanded, protection became more attractive to firms that wanted to limit foreign competition and preserve domestic market share. The book presents this as a long political process, not a sudden ideological conversion. Lobbying, regional conflict, and congressional bargaining all contributed to the growth of protectionist policy. Tariffs became a way to distribute economic advantage to specific sectors, especially manufacturing interests that could organize effectively in Washington. Irwin's discussion is important because it shows that protection was not simply a mistaken theory imposed by policymakers. It was also a durable political coalition built around concrete economic benefits. The result was a tariff system that often outlived the immediate arguments used to justify it. By tracing this phase through repeated legislative battles, the book illustrates how trade policy can become entrenched when organized interests see clear gains from restricting imports. Fourthly, reciprocity, reciprocal trade agreements, and post-war liberalization. A major turning point in the book is the move from unilateral protection toward reciprocity, especially after the Reciprocal Trade Agreements Act of 1934. Irwin presents this as a fundamental redesign of American trade policy instead of using tariffs mainly to protect narrow domestic interests. The United States increasingly used negotiations to reduce barriers abroad and at home. Reciprocity mattered because it changed both the method and purpose of trade policy. Tariff reductions became part of bargaining with other countries, not just a domestic struggle over industry protection. This framework later expanded through the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, and eventually the World Trade Organization. The book's analysis shows that liberalization was not automatic or apolitical. It was built through institutions, negotiation, and a shift in how policymakers understood national interest. By following this transition, Irwin explains why the modern trading system is rooted in reciprocal commitments rather than simple free trade slogans. The result is a clearer understanding of how the United States helped construct the post-war global trade order. Lastly, why historical trade debates remain relevant to modern policy. Although the book is a history, Irwin clearly writes with contemporary relevance in mind. One of its strengths is that it helps readers interpret modern disputes over tariffs, trade deficits, and industrial policy by showing how similar arguments have appeared many times before. The historical record reveals recurring patterns and claims that protection will save domestic jobs, fears about foreign retaliation, and debates over whether national prosperity is better served by openness or restriction. Irwin does not suggest that history provides a simple answer, but he does show that current controversies are easier to understand when placed in a longer institutional and political context. This makes the book valuable not only for historians, but also for economists, policy readers, and anyone trying to understand why trade remains such a volatile issue in American public life. Its practical value lies in helping readers distinguish between genuine structural problems and rhetorical repetition, while its intellectual value comes from connecting present-day policy struggles to the full sweep of U.S. economic development. In conclusion, Clashing Over Commerce will be most useful to readers who want a serious historical account of American trade policy rather than a short, opinionated overview. Economists, historians, political scientists, policymakers, and informed general readers will all benefit from its careful reconstruction of how tariff policy evolved and why it remains so politically contentious. The book is especially valuable for readers trying to make sense of current debates over protectionism, trade agreements, and industrial strategy, because it shows that these arguments are deeply rooted in the nation's history. What distinguishes it from many other books in the field is its combination of breadth, institutional analysis, and a clear organizing framework built around revenue, restriction, and reciprocity. That structure gives coherence to more than two centuries of policy change without oversimplifying the underlying conflicts. Irwin also stands out for treating trade policy as both an economic and political story, which makes the book more complete than accounts focused only on markets or only on ideology. For readers who want context, balance, and historical depth, it is a strong reference point in the literature on U.S. trade policy. If you would like to support Douglas A. Irwin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.